You're listening to a podcast from 702.
In this hour, we're going to have a discussion around the world of work. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I think it opens up some new vistas for all of us who are thinking about the possibility of not having to be tied down to a specific address, location. I'm going to be speaking to Kate Emerson in a few moments' time. 10 lessons for working and living location free, an insider's guide to living and working anywhere and everywhere. It's going to be a great conversation. Please join us on 011-883-0702 on Twitter at Bra Aubrey. I'm also available on the WhatsApp line. The number there is 072-702-1702.
702.
World of Work.
Indeed, Kate Emerson joins me now. Kate, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Good morning, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good, Kate. I really, really am. Just really stoked to have this conversation because I think many of us, including myself, have fantasized at one point or the other to be able to move, just to go and sit at some rock somewhere and watch the sunset and be free of all worldly encumbrance. And then, of course, the children come and then the bond and then adulting and the
and then
you start thinking that is an absolute possibility. You argue that no way you can do this at any time, at any stage of your life, if you are really serious about it. Talk to me about this.
Well, Aubrey, first of all, I want to say I've got a little voice crush on your voice. I've been listening to the show, and your voice is so soothing and calming, which is just what we need.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Are you blushing?
I'm blushing. Have you ever seen a black guy blush? We turned purple.
Anyway, that was my first comment. It's about to be 18 years ago when I first became a life coach. I had the dream then that I wanted to be literally on the top of a mountain or sitting on a beach and working with clients around the world.
Yeah.
And because I have been a traveler and a bit of a gypsy all of my life, so that's always been my dream position, is how do I allow my business and make my business work around my life rather than my life around my business and my work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this weird 2020 year has also given people almost like the dichotomy of, oh my goodness, maybe I can work remotely, because people have been forced into that situation. The ones that were lucky enough to have a job and able to work from home, if their companies got set up really quickly and rejigged, as most of us needed to. But I think, and that's also why I wanted to publish this book now, because people are thinking, well, what if it is possible for me? If I don't actually have to commute, specifically Pretoria to Joburg, if I don't have to commute, what's possible for me? And what have I been stuck in my thinking about in terms of how I can live, what's possible, how can I work, where can I work? And it's not about having no responsibility. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I interviewed other people for this book. Because I was 47 when I went completely location free. And by that, I mean no car, no fixed home address.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for 5 years.
Yeah.
But some of the other people I interviewed have children, have animals. One guy travels with his cats, have responsibility, have grandchildren. You know, so we all have our own version of responsibilities. I had a cat and a partner. But we have to find out what is possible for ourselves and our own lives, but with kindness and compassion, obviously not at the expense of everybody.
Yes. Tell me, that's a whole mindset though, Kate. I mean, you then have to develop a particular mindset. In the same way, of course, the mindset of just protecting what you believe are your responsibilities, your assets, when you are in a more localized, sedentary sort of environment and way of thinking. This very fluid way of thinking about traveling, location, requires a specific mindset, I would imagine.
I think it does, and that's why one of the chapters is Embrace the Mindset. And I think it's quite entrepreneurial in its nature, whereas I think when people are used to being in a corporate with that stability and that that kind of illusion of that check every month, you know, we also have learned that that's not a given. Our time on this planet is not a given. And so we have to look at, well, how do we think? What do we think? Does it really work for us? Does it hold us to our highest version of ourselves? Mm. Or are we playing small? Mm. And so that's always been my coaching business, is helping people to stop mucking about is probably better English, and finding a way to lean into how they really want to be living and working.
Yes.
And it's terrifying. It's terrifying to think about, what do you mean I can't live like the rest of the world and have a home?
Yes.
But at the same time, there is a whole community out there of other people that are, we call it different things, digital nomad, global nomad, remote worker, portable professional. And I think it is about the mindset and the possibility more than anything, because you can't know everything before you set out. You can't know anything about the year that's coming. You can't know everything about the relationship you're in or stability that you think you have. And I think that's part of the illusion that we lock ourselves into, and that's part of the nonsense that we tell ourselves.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we can get caught up in this idea that we are being humble when we are afraid of being who we were meant to be. You know, this whole playing humble, playing small thing. And you're suggesting that part of the reason why we don't grab this desire, this dream to go by the horns is because we, at some level, wanting to play small. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, it's that you're talking about, that beautiful poem by Marianne Williamson.
Yes,
it's beautiful. Well, of course, there is about the humble and the trying to keep ego out of the way, one of our biggest challenges as humans on this planet. But it's also about, how do we really follow our yearnings, the things that we really know inside, but then the fear, the limiting belief, the mind talk, that you know, that kind of monkey sitting on our back comes at us and says, you can't, how can you, it's never possible, you're going to fail, what about the people who love you, you know, you're never going to survive, your business is going to collapse, what if you don't have somewhere to sleep? All of those things will come at us, you know, not even in the dark of the night, they'll be there right in our face every day.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of our challenges as humans, to step out a little bit, be a little bit bolder, because we also do know there's another part of us that knows when we do that, we also shine. And when we shine, like those beautiful stars yesterday, when we shine, we also help others shine, and we shine light on them. So the playing small, you know, in the poem it says it serves no one, you know.
Can I read it to you, since you have a voice crush for me? Can I read that poem?
Please.
I'm actually
looking
at it right
now. This feels like a date.
This is just you and I. This is just the two of us is just doing this thing. I love it, because I always want to read it. One, because I know that a lot of people always attribute it to the former President Nelson Mandela. It's not his poem. It's a poem by Marianne Williamson, but it's poignant. And I think it is really, really apt in this conversation. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And that's from Marianne Williamson. It's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful poem, but a challenging one all the same, in the same way that you're challenging us to entertain the power of our dreams, to go and explore the external world, and at the same time be exploring the internal world.
Yeah, thank you for reading that out, first of all. I think one of the things that we do as humans, and again, personality, ego, is that we look for approval from other people. We all do it. I do it as well. You know, we all do it in our own way. And we try and ask others for permission to do things. And, you know, with this kind of lifestyle that I'm talking about, you really have to be able to dig deep into what your own core is, your own values, and find a way to then let that emanate from yourself. And you can't ask other people for permission. They're probably never going to give it to you because they have their own version of their life that they are living into. And if you make drastic changes, whatever it is, whether it's like me living out of a suitcase or whether it's starting a business or whether moving country or whether deciding to adopt a child, whatever your version is, it will often then ask them to question their own set of beliefs. So one of the things I always say to people as one of the kind of tips or the lessons is don't waste time trying to get people's permission and get their buy-in for your lifestyle. I mean, one of the fun things is always the crazy questions I get asked, like, what do you mean you don't have a home? Where do you live? Is your business collapsing? Where on earth do you pay tax? What are you running away from? What do you mean you don't have a home? Like, are you mad? And people just come at it and it just shows where they're at, actually, because so often the questions we ask others are just indicative of our own thinking and our own mindset and like, what the hell are you doing? You must be mad. I could never do that. And so I always say it's important to go and find people that are even just a millisecond of a step ahead of you. They don't have to be 5 years down the line like me. They don't have to be even 1 year into this kind of living location fee. They could just be a step ahead of you. And you go, what's that person done? I wonder if I could maybe ask them, you know, ask someone who's already doing what you want to be doing rather than the people who are choosing to stay in their own version of their world. So go and seek out the right people that can maybe give you a tip or a hint or support or an idea or a different perspective when they actually have been out there and they're doing it and they're kind of getting the, you know, they've got their legs in it and they're actually living it.
Kate Emerson is my guest. She is a best-selling author and coach. And she's talking about the 10 lessons for working and living location free, an insider's guide to living and working anywhere and everywhere. If you've had this fantasy, give us a call and let us know where you are trying to make it happen. You live this life, Kate? You live the life of being location free? And before you answer that question, what do I do? I'm flirting with the idea of doing so. I've got three kids. I've got a mortgage. I've got two dogs. Where do you even start?
I think like with anything, you start with the dream and the idea, like that big, Simon Sinek talks about start with your why. So that might be conversations with your loved ones. It might be just sitting quietly retreating with yourself, which New Year is a perfect time to do that, to just go, what do I really want? What is possible? It's like taking the blockages out and going, what is possible for my life? If I took time and money out of it. So often we have to play games with ourselves. So it's the hint of possibility. And then you start going, okay, now what can I do to start working towards that? It's the same for anything that we want to shift, whether it's our vision for our country or healthcare or, you know, our family. Yeah. It starts with the idea of possibility, that big star in front, and then we go, okay, now what do I need to do to walk slowly towards, to you know, get over the sabotaging things, the challenges, the roadblocks, the things that come my way. And then the other thing is that we start small. So, you know, people don't have to be dramatic. You could do something like try it for a month. You know, there are always ways that you can take a step. And now there are amazing communities around the world. One of probably the most well-known is Unsettled. And in fact, one of the ladies, Scully, in the book is one of their team leaders. And you, what they do is they do these experiences, for example, in a city, and you go and stay in co-living, co-working, but in a different city, and you go and try it out for a month. But you have a community, so there's a bit of a soft landing.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they help you then kind of integrate what it might be like. And then you go, is this for me? Because it's not, you know, nothing's for everybody. It's about what's my version.
Right.
And again, I always say that, what is your version of this lifestyle? So maybe for you, it's 1 month a year, what you call location free, but that might feel too much like holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people that have put kids and animals onto boats, you know, and are sailing around the world doing homeschooling. That's the joy of technology, you know, and satellite and being able to homeschool. And so I think possibility, starting small, and make up your own version that suits your temperament, your where you are currently at in your life, your responsibilities, and make it work in a way for you, not how I've done it. And then the short answer to your question is yes, I have been living this for 5 years now. I went location free 5 years ago. I was 47. And literally, I haven't had a car or a fixed home. I had a partner at the time. Every time I visited South Africa, I would stay in his home, but it was his home. I would take all my stuff when I left. And I'm still in that mode. It's 5 years down the line. So also, I have plenty to share and plenty to say about the
subject. I can almost sense that this can be a very romantic thing. I mean, you know, one can really get into the romanticism of it all and forget at some level, I suppose, while you're preparing, that there are some cold, hard practicalities to all of this, that everything isn't going to be gasping and all that kind of thing. What are some of the realities that you've had to face that are of that unglamorous, practical variety?
I always say it's not all Instagram glamour and gloss, for sure. So I also, you know, ask people about their business highs and lows. Relationships are one of the hardest. The sense of how do you build community, you know, because some people choose to spend a week or two in a place. I prefer a longer amount of time, like 2 to 3 months. How do you integrate? How do you build community? How do you connect with people? It's the biggest learning curve into understanding yourself and who you are. It's like a crash course in life. Health. So one of the principles is the lay principle. Look after yourself. Mm. Health care, being on the road, needing to be super vigilant about trusting yourself. You know, so even if you are traveling with your family or loved ones, a lot of people are on their own when they do this as well, or solo for certain parts of it. So your health, self-care and health and integrity and connection to your gut has to be paramount. Traveling, you know, it's of course like we think, oh, lovely holiday, tralala, you know, lying on the beach or, you know, hopping on and off a bus in New York City. It's hard work, Aubrey. It's like the ravages of traveling and time zones and planes and the uncertainty. It's exciting and exhilarating, but it also chews an enormous amount of energy, you know, in terms of if something's not working out, how do you rejig? How do you change? How do you move accommodation if it's not working out? One of my own really personal things is like this constant befriending and unfriending of depression that kind of weaves in and out in a sometimes subtle way, sometimes alarming way in my life. And I am very alternative in my kind of healthcare. I mean, I don't think I've been on antibiotics since I was in my 20s. So I, you know, homeopathy, yoga, trying to eat well. And then I also love wine, you know, and then wine can kind of throw me out of balance. So how do we, it's constant. And the business, you know, one of the largest things for me was my business was predominantly based in South Africa at a face-to-face level, although I was traveling a lot and working internationally, speaking retreats, that kind of thing. But it was a language thing of friends, family, clients. When are you coming back to South Africa, Kate? When can I see you face-to-face? When can we coach face-to-face? When can you come and do a talk? And so I also had to give up a lot of business because I had to get a rhythm for the year for myself of, when was I in South Africa? When was I in America? When was I in Europe? And then if I was in Europe, then say no to business in South Africa, because I also didn't want to be constantly up and down traveling, let alone the ravages on the body. It's also planetary, you know, and carbon emissions and all of that. So there's so many things to navigate and staying connected to your family and friends wherever they are. It takes, I think it takes double the amount of effort because you don't have the security that they're just around the corner and the book, can pop in for tea.
The book is called 10 Lessons for Living Location Free, right?
Correct.
And how do people get a hold of this book? And if they want to connect with you to have, I suppose, more personal conversations, how do they do that, Kate?
Great. So maybe the easiest is just my website, which is kate-emerson.com. And pretty much that will lead you to anything and everything. And there's also links to the book. If you're in South Africa and you love the idea of paperbacks, because I'm also very old-fashioned that way, I love paperbacks. Yeah. And then I pass on the books when I'm done with them, when I travel. So you can do the paperback on Takealot. And they will courier it to your door. If you are anywhere else in the world, just look for the title on Amazon, or you can find that link on my website. And of course, it's in both paperback and digital version if you prefer the digital version.
Thoroughly enjoyed talking to you.
Also, Oh, thank you. I also just wanted to say I donate 10% of the sales to the Future Forest Company to help offset that dratted traveling and carbon footprint.
Well, Kate, it's really, really been educational and eye-opening talking to you. Maybe one day I'll grab the bull by its horns, but I really thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Aubrey. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you so much.